Greetings, citizens of Twilight. Welcome back for the 5th Twilight Heroes podcast. This is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, here to answer a couple of questions and reveal the winners for the Even If contest we had on the forums. I got some very good results to that. I will go ahead and take care of the questions and then announce the winners for the contest. I hope to get the actual code up and prizes out probably tomorrow for that. First up, we've got some questions from Sanduro. I'm a little disappointed that the wiki editors weren't able to collect all the hit and miss messages from the Daylight Saber event earlier this year. I meant earlier last year. Any chances of seeing these enemies again? It would not terribly surprise me. I mean, the Daylight Saber is a constant threat to the security and tranquility of Twilight, so would not surprise me to see him rear his ugly head again. If nothing else, I would not be surprised if he showed up in similar circumstances the next time we had a leap day, as it were. But it's certainly possible that he would show up under other time-related circumstances. Also, what's the next week's episode of Heroes? What changes have you been working on? As far as big steps go, I'm watching stuff come in from the Earthworld partnership, and that's been going very well. Due to some weirdness, sort of on both sides, with the desired times, that's going on longer than we expected, which is sort of bad for Rob, the writer of Earthworld, because of the circumstances surrounding that are not the best on his side, but certainly not really bad for us, in that we're getting more advertising than we were planning on. Although, you know, one of those things you can't necessarily feel great about, because it's we're getting some extra time due to some of his misfortune. We're just things got split up weirdly, and the intermediate period is extending because he's having some problems. That's neither here nor there. Once that's sorted, and we've finished that out, I'm going to sit down and crunch some numbers as far as what sort of returns we got, you know, how many new players we got, does that look like it was worth it, and from what I've done so far, the answers look actually like a rather large yes, so that's good, that means that at least as a test run, advertising is not crazy, so I would not be surprised to see more of that in the future. I'm planning on letting sort of Earthworld stuff run its course, so that we can get a final sort of idea of what we're looking at before we start branching out into other advertising. The earlier turns, as it were, are looking good enough, though, that we're planning on, and by we, I mean me and the Metroplexity Games marketing staff, which consists of basically my wife, Liz, are planning on getting together at some point over the holiday weekend and engaging the extremely festive activities of putting together some banners. Not sort of, as with the weird circumstances I was talking before, sort of ended up with a quick combined Metroplexity Games banner for the Earthworld stuff, which is not something we were planning on having initially, but Rob is awesome. It's Rob Balder, by the way, the writer of Earthworld, to give the whole explanation of the Rob that I keep talking about all in one place. Anyway, moral of the story. He's awesome, and we ended up being able to have a skyscraper ad that we're not expecting to have, just had to get it put together quickly. So, one of those pleasant surprises. But we're going to be going back through and doing some more Client Hero specific place arts, and doing those, like I said, this weekend, so that when I do the final number crunching and sort of decide, like, the extent to which we should push things, we'll have those available. So that's, I mean, the big development from the sort of high-level side of things, which is pretty exciting, sort of scary in that I'm one of those people who doesn't like, you know, bragging, talking about myself, asking for money, any of those things. So that's sort of a leap, but one that I'm feeling pretty confident taking. So it's pretty cool. As far as the actual gameplay, which I'm sure we can agree is pretty damn important. I am still working on the Mad Scientist quest. There's also a ton of other stuff that I'm working on. The big one, Mad Scientist, I'm working on some leak stuff on the sides, which is looking pretty cool. Just need to finalize that, get art, you know, have, you know, bonuses for the items you get, you know, piddly stuff like that, writing, you know, all of the stuff that's actually important, the meat on the bones, so to speak. But there's some cool new league stuff that I'd like to get out there. So didn't get as much done this month as I would have liked. Not as an excuse or to delve into unpleasant personal matters, but there's a sort of interesting period when I play with the medicines that I'm on, where I will either get a ton of stuff done or very little stuff done. It sort of goes into I get into, like, a really productive, awesome, you know, high-energy phase, or that energy just sort of spirals in on itself, and I get into, like, a death, pointless phase. When I say death there, I mean, like, death spiral, not, like, death, like I'm, you know, contemplating suicide or anything like that. Nothing quite that dark. And this time just went the bad route. So things seem to be doing better on that front, but, you know, who can say, really? But the big things I've been working on are those two. Other longer-term stuff includes there's a long-term sort of vision for a PvP revamp, but that sort of is one of those things that requires something else, which I also will be really happy to get in, heroism, I guess is actually how that should be pronounced, so that I would also like to have in. Both of those also require some just coding, nuts and bolts stuff, that is going to require pretty substantial revamp on a bunch of existing stuff. One of those situations where it's like, if you design something from scratch with something in mind, design a game from scratch with something in mind, it's pretty easy to do certain things. But going back and adding something, in this case, it's locations, you know, the dozens and dozens of locations that we already have, and making sure that they all work within a new framework can be both challenging and time-consuming. So I would like to obviously get in there and do that, but it's not a small undertaking. So that's one of the side things. And there's some other just random stuff that's on various, not entirely in the back burners, like Go Fish revamp, stuff like that is something that I've been thinking about. Actively on my plate is League stuff and more the early phases, the Mad Scientist League thing that I was talking about in the early phases of that would allow the heroism stuff and PvP. But I wouldn't despite the fact that I'm actively working on some of this stuff, I wouldn't necessarily expect to see it super quickly. So I would I hope to have the Mad Scientist stuff out by end of the year. It's hard to say, though, with that stuff sometimes. Let's see, some questions from Earth Moratorium. Hi, welcome aboard. Quite a few of the merit badges items in the game are no longer available. Do you think this could give other players an unfair advantage? And if so, what do you think can be done to correct this? As far as the merit badges, I mean, those are purely cosmetic. They don't actually do anything as far as an unfair advantage would be concerned. The items are a bit more of an open question. I try to reintroduce as far as I guess there's sort of two slices of that. There are certain items of the month that obviously aren't they don't return, and there's obviously thoughts going both ways on that, but those we try to sort of hit the same points. There's certain like accessories, for example, that we want to, you know, Hero's Cape doesn't come back, but that same sort of idea comes back. So you can still approach that, things like that. Most of the other items that don't come back aren't really optimal, or if they are, they're optimal but not really used, like the bowling ball, for example. You know, nominally optimal, but one-time use is very limited supply of them, so it doesn't really... It's optimal, but doesn't really matter at the same time, if that makes sense. So, I don't think that it's a huge concern as far as that goes. As far as, like, the actual balance of things are concerned, I'm not terribly worried about it. In the sense that, if there's anything that ever gets really, imbalanced, it can always be addressed, in a variety of ways, right? So, that isn't to say, like, that there aren't It's like, there are certainly good items that can no longer be acquired, but, and those aren't necessarily going to be reintroduced, but that isn't to say that there aren't, other items that can fit the same niche, which I assume makes sense. If you look sort of at the accessory slot is the most obvious way of how we do that. I want to say February. I'm probably getting the wrong month, though, actually. March. Regardless. But there's sort of a yearly, you know, accessory that fits sort of the same concept. Some of them are better, some of them are worse. There's actually a fair amount of argument as to which ones are best. And similarly, if you look at, like, the Recyclotron, the Digitizer, and the Box of Goats. Box of Goats, by the way, by far being my favorite out of those three. But the others, also pretty cool. And that concept will be revisited later. It's hard to implement while causing some disappointment for the older players, no doubt. Perhaps some sort of quest could be implemented to give newer players the access to some of the old, I don't know, goodies, even a reissue, perhaps. That is something that I have thought about. It would not be in the form of a quest if I did that. It would be more in the form of a something like a world event or recurring event. My larger concern with those is just that even the ones that there are, in theory, enough of, are, you know, have flooded off into inactive accounts in various ways. Either, you know, people donated for them and they went inactive, or things were just or, like, they, you know, got a bunch of chips, bought them, went inactive, that sort of thing. And I would not be averse to sort of limited reissues. It's not something that I necessarily plan to do. I don't think we should probably need to do it. Most of the it's a concept that comes up a lot, and it's not something that I'm specifically opposed to. But most of I guess there's sort of two separate questions. One of them is, you know, sort of gotta catch them all. That's a fool's errand. Insofar as even old, well-established players aren't going to be able to collect all of those items. And it's not something that the game is really set out to allow or handle well. So if the question is, can I get all of the items? No. That's just... I mean, in theory, yes, but it's not something that I feel I really have to help people with, in that it just... the game doesn't really do that. The question of sort of balance is a little more interesting. If it came to the point that that balance could only be achieved by reissuing items somehow, it's not something that I would be opposed to. I think, for the most part, it can be handled with new items that have similar niches. I mean, there's only so many slots, right? And even a lot of the items, I won't say all, but many of the items that don't necessarily seem slotted are in various ways, like the scale items, are designed so that they can pretty easily be handled. They can be made exclusive. So things, if things get out of balance, they can pretty easily get brought back into balance. It's less about, the reissuing thing is less about, it's sort of collection versus promises. If you look at the other game that I developed, Metroplexity, it actually has a sort of timed reissuing. It just automatically item cycle through. So I obviously don't have any problem with that. Personally, but that's sort of how things were pitched originally, so people got items knowing that they would be made available again later. So it's a little harder sell in a case where people got those items under the impression that they would not be re-released. So it's, there's sort of a hierarchy there. If I can make things balanced without breaking that promise, and I mean, to a large extent, those promises are rhymes rather than mine, but I still think that they're important. I would rather do it that way. by the way, for new players listening, I took over development of the game about 2 years ago. The previous developer is Rhyme. So if you look at, like, the copyright notice, it'll be, like, you know, Quirks Media and then Metroplexity Games. Quirks Media is Rhyme, Metroplexity Games is me. So, when that's why I said that a lot of the promise there was Rhyme. So a lot of those older items were under Rhyme's watch. Although an increasingly large amount under mine. So, anyway, if any sort of balance issue, like actual advantage issue, can be fixed without breaking those promises, awesome. That's go-to solution. If those... but, I mean, if it somehow... I don't actually see how this really would end up happening, per se. But if it got to a point where it's those promises versus, you know, the quality of the game, quality of the game wins. But I don't see that happening. Like, I think that sort of reissues in spirit, which is how this has been handled in the past, will continue working in the future. So if you're looking at an old item of the month that's super cool, and you want to be able to do something like that, the question, for the most part, isn't how, like, can I get this exact item? Like, can it be reissued somehow? Will it be made available again? That's not usually the first step there. The first step there is more, hey, this is a really cool item. Is there anything else that will be released that will do something like it, right? If there's something that piques your interest, I mean, let us know is honestly the best way to do that. We don't know that, like, you know, the digitizer wouldn't have come out if people weren't like, hey, their cyclotron is awesome, let's have something more like that. And the Box of Goats wouldn't have come out if, A, the goats are hilarious, and B, if it weren't like, hey, you know, we've got sort of this design space with the cyclotron, Box of Goat, and digitizer, I've just got goats on the brain now, we should make sure that it's, you know, still available to people. And similarly, with, you know, the various equipment slots, and there are a lot of effects that come back up. So if you're like, hey, it'd be really great if there was some blocking item that, you know, might show back up in the future. Okay. I mean, just let us know. If we don't know that you're excited about something, it is less likely to be on our radar to show back up again. But we try to, I mean, keep certain concepts evergreen. So, as you can imagine by the amount that I've just rambled on this, it's something that, I mean, gets talked about a lot, by the dev team. The ideas of, like, if it, you know, came down to doing a, I mean, a full-blown reissuing, like, how that would be done in a way that is respectful to the promises that, you know, have been made in the past. That's been hashed out at length. I don't really think we're there, but, like I said, it's something that doesn't really go away. On the old items of the month, just if there's something specific that you want, let us know. You'll not be surprised to see something like that in the future. A couple questions about Panasonic. Regarding League villains, can you tell us if the requirements for the onesie and mole car have to do with things tracked by records, other than minimum of 3 people are required, or do they depend on something else we might be doing? Let me double check here real quick. I am pretty sure, with, you know, full knowledge, etc., etc., you'd be able to parse those out. Yes, for the onesie. Let me double check Moltron here. Hello, Moltron. Yeah, that I love that pun just deeply. Not even sure if that it qualifies as a pun. Yeah, you could parse those out from a if you had, like, you know, infinite information, but just the information that is displayed, you could parse out the patterns there of why those drop. They are not purely static. I will say you can guarantee them. They are not necessarily always guaranteed, though. Like, if you sort of get halfway there, it gives it to you half the time. If you get all the way there, it gives it to you all the time, if that makes sense. Just because I'm not a jerk, I guess, except to people trying to say these things, which can be kind of unpleasant with systems like that, but I don't, it's not so much a puzzle to unlock as just sort of a, if you're doing things in generally the right way, you'll see generally more of them. Are the pinata sugar drops dependent on some weird mechanic or just normal drop rates? There is some fiddling going along behind the scenes there. How's the progress on the prestige store? Pretty minimal. I mean, I've gotten some of the early items out there. Just not specific anything like anything more than any other time that I've talked about it. How are things going on the advertising front? That Earth deal seems to have paid off so far, judging by the number of new players in chat. Yeah, that is looking pretty good. I talked a little bit before about what that'll look like going into the future. Plans at this point are wait for Earthworld stuff to wrap up, which is looking like it'll still be a bit. Go through sort of use that as an opportunity to see what the what some of the numbers look like. And I apologize, this makes me sound like the people who were my bosses a few years ago, but sort of see, like, the actual, not return on investment, really, but, like, the curves as far as saturation and things like that. There's a couple different phases in the Earthworld stuff, because of how that's played out, that will let us get some good data. As far as advertising goes, like, what's more and less effective, what sort of diminishing returns we should look at, you know. Is it something where, for example, a lot of the advertising that you can do, you know, you can blast for like a week, right? Or you can do it for, you know, a day or a couple of hours. Even in some cases, is it, depending on what the numbers actually look like, is it worth it to stay there for a week? Like, do people tune out after a while? Obviously, yes, right? But at the same time, there's a level of, there's sort of that oversaturation, but there's also a level of saturation where, you know, the first time you look at something, your eyes might also gloss over it. You know, if you're going to, you know, your webcomic, and there's an ad there, whatever, skip it, read the webcomic. Next time you load the page, webcomic hasn't updated yet, ad's still there, maybe you look at it that time, things like that. So, I mean, there's some thought that goes into that. Generally speaking, the plan is sort of wedded to my general philosophy of not being a douchebag. And this sounds sort of flippant there. Like, normal web advertising isn't necessarily douchebaggy, but I think that with the amount of advertising we'll be doing, which is not very large, I mean, in, you know, the grand scheme of all of the web, right, we can really both go to specific audiences, right? And Earthworld's a good example in that, like, I know Rob. He's great. He's not gonna, you know, screw us or anything. If anything, he's gone far above and beyond what our agreement required him to do. Because, as I mentioned before, awesome. At the same time, I mean, there's a lot of just, like, you know, someone interested in, you know, superhero satire. There are superhero satire webcomics out there. Or just people interested in zany pop culture references. There are, you know, there's sort of these niches are actually, you know, we can get it in front of the right people. But beyond that, I mean, there's sort of that level of effectiveness, right, is worth looking into. But beyond that, that's not what not being douchebaggy is about. It, that same level of targeting lets me use money, basically give money to people that I like, that I think are doing good work, like Rob. And build up sort of relationships there. So it's not, moving forward, there's a question of, yes, it does look like we'll have some money to spend on advertising, which is very cool and scary, because, like I said, I'm not really big on talking about myself, which you would never imagine listening to these, but it helps when there are questions. But there's, I think, a really good opportunity there to, get, us what we want, more eyes, new players, but also, get the people on the other end, the people, both posting the advertising and looking at the ads, what they want, in that the people posting the ads, want, money so that they can do what they want to do. Like, I need money to do what I want to do. And we can make that work. And by, keeping things a little more narrowly targeted, we can get the game in front of people who would actually enjoy it. Rather than, just blasting ads out everywhere. I think that there's a sort of mindfulness, I guess you could say, that I would like to exercise going forward. My podcast question would be the same without a facial hair suggestion. So, have you thought about making Noshember into a one-day event? The Grizzly Invasion. I'm Noshember. During Noshember. Flowers stop to smell beards. Love Noshember.com. Okay. That's a good glare if you click on the link in Pathogenesis image. That's quite the glare. I do have a neatly trimmed goatee, if that is not coming up in one of your previous questions. And it would allow for a Grizzly Fate pun. Which, by the way, one of my favorite game developers, being Mark Rosewater over with Magic the Gathering, has a unholy love for the Grizzly Fate pun. So it ended up being a card which summons bears, which is way funnier. But Sanjuro already asked you what you've been working on, so what is the airspeed velocity of an unlaned swallow? European. I'm going to go with 12 knots. No pun intended there, but it should have been. Not that I know the answer, but because knots are such a lovely unit. A couple questions from Shrock. What's the status of PvP revamp? I know exactly what I want to do, but that requires a huge amount of thing before I can even get there. Which I was talking about briefly earlier. But yeah, that's sort of where that is. I think people will really like it when it's done, but, yeah. you probably can't hear the kittens whining in the background, but there are kittens whining. When will the next Battle of the Bands be? I don't know, they usually do those in the summer, don't they? But I guess we have not had a Battle of the Bands in quite some time. Maybe it could be arranged to have a winter battle. We talked a bit about the ladder. I thought it would Now, maybe the reason of one defense decreased in the last couple of years might be due to them crushing people in the middle of the run. Would it be possible in the future for there to be a foreshadowing message of a couple days before it goes live? I don't know, something like my spider sense is tingling in the announcements, or maybe in the retcon device. I think the main reason for them decreasing is honestly to a large extent because I'm not a huge fan of them. I mean, it's not, you know, just the you know, people being in the middle of a retcon, but you know, people don't play that day or whatever. And then it usually just ends up with me getting yelled at and me having to ignore getting yelled at because it's a one-day event. What do you want? But, I mean, at the same time, there's sort of a... Events are only have so much stuff going on. Like, the one-day events are really kind of bite-sized. So I'm not really going to have them, you know, Battle of the Bands for all of December or something, right? They really lose their specialness pretty quickly. And, I mean, so yeah, that's the main reason that there have been less, just, in that I'm not super excited, and I get yelled at every time, which I don't really care in this case, but it's sort of, you know, if you have something you're not really excited to do in the first place, then you get yelled at. It's sort of like, well, why'd I even bother? And obviously, there are some people who are excited about it, as evidenced by these questions. But I would not really mind even, I mean, both bringing back old one-day events and increasing the number of one-day events. Honestly, I think I really need to go one way or the other, that I don't think, like, a small increase would really help, but with enough of them that I think people would, it wouldn't be as big a problem, right? Like, if there's, you know, a one-day event a month or more, probably, honestly, have to be more than that, like 15 or 20 a year. I think people would get the hint and stop complaining to me about it. But there's a lot of one-day events at the same time. So, yeah. I guess it's one of those things where I don't think it is well served by half-assing it, and I don't think that it really is great to let them languish as they have, so I should probably just throttle those into high gear and let the complaints be washed away under a torrent of one-day events. But as far as the as far as having a warning, it's not really so much the I don't mind putting in a warning like we did with the back in the day the Leap Day event, which actually came up earlier, had a several day warning. It's not something that I'm going to do for every event. I feel like I feel like the real solution there is honestly just have more of them. I can't really put my finger on why consistently having warnings for it bugs me. But it does. It feels like it cheapens it somehow. I have to put some more thought into that, though. More questions from Sanjiro. Related to it or from Moratorium said, I'm concerned with the avatars you get from Master 6. There's no way for new players to get the avatar and I'll be a lonely dinosaur prowling around Twilight. How about if, instead of getting the avatar directly after combat, you get a tradable item from Master 6 to give the avatar and use? This would prevent new players from being locked out of an awesome piece of character customization. This has actually come up a couple of times, to me directly. There are two reasons I'm not going to do that. One of them is that this is going to sound terrible. I'm going to get yelled at about it either way. You're not yelling at me about it. I shouldn't say that. It's going to be sort of contentious either way, is the better way to put that. I should clarify that. I was just talking about people yelling at me about the single day stuff where I actually do get yelled at. No one has actually yelled at me about this. Everything has been extremely respectful. Clarification aside. It's going to be contentious either way. I honestly see no need for change. The other side of that is I am unbelievably loath to change items of the month after they have been launched, and then even more so after they have left the walk. Anyone who talks to some of my Metroplexity players, I'm thinking Al here, mostly, is the one who's talked to me about this. There's an old item of the month in Metroplexity, Festive Knit Cap, that is just not very good. And unlike Twilight Heroes, as I mentioned before, the items rotate back in. So it would be it wouldn't be as weird to buff an item later, because then, hey, item got buffed, everyone can buy it again, not really, you know, destroying the world. I still have not, because it feels really weird. I really do not like fucking with them. That's just sort of the nature of the beast. Even completely peddly shit. Like, the vacuum, the full name of which I'm blanking on, but the sweet vacuum gun. That totally should have had a special message for ghosts. Even if it did nothing. And that I just did not click to put in there, because, like, there's 98 reasons why I should have had a ghost message, and I just didn't do it. I did not go back in there and put it in, because I really don't like changing those items once they've been released. The advice for this is basically the same as the advice that I gave to Earth Moratorium earlier, in that the those avatars are probably not going to become tradable, both in that that wasn't how it was originally designed. It doesn't matter at all, which I do. It's going to cause unpleasantness in the long run either way, and I knew that when I designed it, but the way that it works now is not going to cause any more unpleasantness than having it be tradable, and that's sort of if people don't want to believe me, they don't have to, but it's not not a clear-cut choice of, oh, we could just make this a tradable item and everything would be no. That's not going to be fine either. I would rather just cut it off. Suggestion, not unwelcome, but definitely one that was actually considered at length before the item was released. Not the way that I decided to go in that. Not something that I'm going to change my mind on. Lastly, after moratorium, I'm a little excitable, but I hope this podcast is up soon because I have to win the contest. Well, that is a perfect segue into who won the contest. Drum roll, please. We have I could be a complete jerk and just reload the page a bunch of times and have them be in a random order. But in the order that they were submitted, we have Islatter, because you'd have to be knocking futs to throw down with a villain named Tricky Nick Dixon. Sailor Bowser, even if your evil twin has been living on your block this whole time. Acid Cat, you're the only one to realize John Steele has a glass jaw. Pat Jones, even if one of those threats is a giant lizard rampaging in Chinatown, playing a deafening of Vuvuzela, and unless killer whales equipped with rocket launchers can be handled by the average citizen, Jesus, with, after all, normal people can barely handle threats from their own dimension, amateurs. Oh, I missed the italicization there. I should make sure that that's... You will have to pardon my paused drum roll here. Earth Moratorium, even if the Incredible Sulk throws a hissy fit again. Sanjiro, from the pickpockets to the greater freak-task goblins from Mount Vernon, and even with an accountant for a sidekick. And the Leopard, even if a bike helmet, a rolled-up newspaper, fishnet stockings, and bunny slippers make up a superhero outfit, and even if you need underwater crime like a fish needs a bicycle. And these, I will say that some of those were reformatted somewhat, either for flow or just for space. But they are all up now. Let me... This is the ceremonial... FTP upload. There we go. So, the front page has acquired a new dose of random pizzazz, thanks to our awesome players. I will get those prizes out over the course of probably before you're done listening to this podcast, but if you have not received them by then, have no fear. I will get them out at the latest sometime tomorrow. So, congratulations very much to Islatter, Sailor Bowser, Acid Cat, Patagonis, Jesus, Earth Moratorium, Sanjuru, the Leopard, and special congratulations to Patagonis, Sanjuru, and the Leopard. Thanks everyone very much for participating in the contest, and if you feel the need to repeatedly refresh the front page to see all of the swanky new messages, you are more than welcome to do so. So that's pretty much it. We've got some sweet stuff coming up as far as Mad Scientist Quest, which, as I said, I'd like to get done by the end of the year, but it's still a ways out. A new league boss that I've been working on, and I'd like to get back on track on the small weekly updates that I've been doing, although those do not always seem to come as quickly as one would expect, both idea-wise and time-wise. So if there is something tiny you would like to see, like, you know, hey, Kinnack, vegetables are totally awesome. I love growing vegetables. Note that actually growing vegetables would be far longer than a week's project, as demonstrated by, I guess, the garden outside my window. But if you're like, hey, some more vegetables would be great. You should make some more vegetables. I could totally do that. Or, you know, just if there's something tiny that you're looking for, feel more than free to ping me with it. I won't necessarily get to it that week, but I do have a surprisingly small list of little things to do, and a surprisingly large list of massive things to do. So if there's something that you're like, oh, this would be cool, and like seemed like it shouldn't actually be that hard, yeah, go ahead and fire it over, and I will see if I can make some magic happen. And other than that, thank you very much, all of you, for all of your feedback and your participation in the contest and the forums in general. Thanks for either being or being so welcoming for our new players from the land of Earth. Thank you all very much for playing, and if you are a donor, for donating. I really appreciate both that I can make games that people obviously enjoy so much, and make payments on my credit cards by producing these games. Thank you all, and have an excellent night.